Welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we continue our Halloween theme with the great old time radio show, Suspense. First, we have one of the oldest tales that combines science fiction and the macabre, Frankenstein. This half-hour adaptation can't tell the whole story, but it is well-written and chilling. Enjoy Suspense. Frankenstein, first broadcast June 7th, 1955 on CBS.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Herbert Marshall in tonight's presentation of Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents a new radio adaptation of one of the most famous suspense stories ever written, Mary Godwin Shelley's Frankenstein. Our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Hello there, Harlow.
Well, mend my fences if it's not the senator. How's it look for you, Senator?
Going to cast your ballot tomorrow, Harlow?
Why, Senator, I'd no more forget to vote than forget to winterize my car. And now's the time to do it. Get the oil and grease changed, put in antifreeze, inspect the battery cable.
And check the spark plugs, too.
Right, Johnny Plug Check. The spark plugs are the very heart of your car's ignition system. And when they're right, your chances of starting, even in coldest weather, are better than ever.
Well, I'll visit my Autolite spark plug dealer, Harlow.
Do that, Senator, because he's the expert on cleaning and adjustment. And if replacements are needed, he'll recommend those world-famous ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs, either standard or resistor type. To quickly learn the location of your nearest Autolite spark plug dealer, phone Western Union by number and ask for Operator 25. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents transcribed Frankenstein, starring Mr. Herbert Marshall, and hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
Victor.
Hello, Mary. The Reverend in?
Out in the garden, as usual. Do you want me to call him?
No, thanks. I'll go out.
Well, all right. Tell him not to get too dirty. We're supposed to play croquet with the McDonald's at 5.
I'll tell him.
When's Elizabeth coming home?
Tomorrow or Tuesday, I think.
You both have to come over for dinner.
Love to, Mary.
See you later.
Hi. Oh, you're just in time to give me a hand.
Whew.
Well, these Indian summers, hot, too sticky.
James, I got to talk to you.
Well, of course. What, anything wrong? You know, you haven't looked too good for the past month or so. Something on your mind?
Yes.
Oh, well, then. Well, let's go in the house. I'll get you a beer. We can talk.
No, not in the house. Do you mind if we walk?
Oh, of course not. Oh, wait a moment. My pipe over there. There we are. Get some rain. Hope so. I won't have to play croquet. That's not a game.
James?
Oh, look now, we're friends. You know you can speak to me. What's the matter? One of your patients die? You made a mistake, perhaps?
No, nothing like that. Perhaps it's worse. I'm not sure.
Has it anything to do with Elizabeth going away?
In a way, yes.
Oh. My favorite place. You know, Victor, I think of most of my sermons standing here looking across the valley. Lovely, isn't it? Got a match? Oh, thanks.
Listen, I've been doing an experiment. It's very complicated. And I've Almost finished.
Well, that's wonderful.
I think I'm a little afraid of it. I don't know. I've tried to think it out myself. I can't find the answer.
Go on.
You believe in God, don't you? I mean, because I don't go to church, you don't think that I don't believe, do you?
I don't think that at all. You're a good man.
I want you to promise me something. You've got to promise that you'll never breathe a word of what I'm about to tell you.
You have my word.
You swear?
I don't usually break my word.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, I've made something. It's tremendous. It's impossible. But I think I've done it. And it goes against everything you believe, James.
What? What have you done?
I've made a thing.
I don't understand.
I put it together. Heart, brain, nerves, muscle, everything. I've done it. Now do you understand? A complete body.
And you're upset because of that? You think that you've done something wrong?
But...
Oh, you're a surgeon. What you've done will help to save a life. If you've learned more about the human body, this experiment can't be wrong. It can only do good. Oh, I shouldn't worry.
Last night, I made it move. I'm not certain, but I think I can give it life. Absolute life. Now do you see why I'm afraid? I've created a man.
I'd better call Mary. She'll be worried.
All right, but...
I won't say anything. Hello, Mary? No, I'm with Victor. Listen, dear, I'm afraid we'll have to put off the McDonald's. Yes, I know. Well, Mary, I have something very important to discuss with Victor. It can't wait. Yes, dear. No, don't wait supper. I'll have something over here. Yes, I will. Goodbye.
You don't have to see this thing if you don't want to, James.
Where is it?
In my lab. I had an addition built on. I'm the only one who has a key.
I don't say I believe what you told me, but how do you know you can make it live? I mean, is it anything more than galvanic action?
You'll see.
Why lock it?
I always do.
Oh. Is that the addition over there?
Yes.
Dark.
There aren't any windows. It's better that way. Before I show you, I want to explain. This is what started it. It was mostly an accident. One of the kids brought in his dog. It had been run over, killed. He wouldn't believe it was dead. Expected me to bring it back. I gave it a shot in the heart. And then another with this stuff. A compound I have fooled with for a long time.
Yes?
The dog came back to life. Just for a moment.
How do you know the dog was dead?
No, it was. It had been for 2 hours. All that happened 3 years ago.
You've been experimenting on things ever since?
Yes.
It's wrong.
I don't know.
No, it's wrong.
You're going to stay, James.
What are you going to do? Try to bring it to life?
I've got to. I've got to try.
Then why did you come to me?
I wanted to tell you. I have to tell someone you're my friend.
I'm a minister. I preach and believe in the word of God.
Do you want to see it?
No. No, I don't, but I must.
It's not terrible to look at. I've done a pretty good job on it. But it isn't quite finished. I'm not quite done with the face.
Oh, my
bury it. Let it be at peace. Don't do it. Even if you can, and I can't imagine it possible, don't even try.
Do you realize what it would mean to me, to the world?
Standing here with you, looking at that, it's easy to imagine anything. I don't want to. Put it to rest, Victor. Forget it.
That's just it. I can't. Not until I find out one way or the other. Watch.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to show you what happened last night.
I don't want to see. I don't care.
I know better.
Well, listen to me, Victor. This mustn't go on. You've got to stop it.
Not yet. Not until I find out.
Does Elizabeth know what you're doing?
No.
Why did you send her away?
I didn't want her here when I made the last test.
Because you're ashamed. You know it's wrong. You know what she'd think.
I'm not ashamed. I think I'm a little frightened at the incredible greatness of what I've done. It's bigger than anything since the world began.
If it moves, if you prove your point to me, will you stop then? Will you destroy it? The formulas, whatever papers you have, destroy all of it, will you?
I don't know. Hand me that hypodermic, will you?
No.
All right. There.
If I say I believe you, Victor, if...
You don't have to be afraid of it. It couldn't hurt you, you know. There's only enough of this stuff to stimulate a small portion of its brain.
I'm not afraid of it. I'm afraid for us all. I've never preached to you, Victor.
It moved its left foot last night, then the right. I'm going to try the arm now. Move the light over, please. Thanks. Watch carefully. Only takes a few seconds. Now.
Look. It's him.
I know. That's the way it was yesterday. The movement only lasts for a moment, though. That's all.
I don't know what to say. I don't even think I understand what I've seen, except that it's terrible.
Because you don't understand, or because of what it means?
I'm afraid, if you like. I'm afraid for you, for what you've done. That thing lying there, you've got no right. I won't allow... What's that?
What?
Listen.
Stethoscope. It's impossible. There wasn't enough.
It's breathing, Victor. What have you done? The thing's alive.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Herbert Marshall in Frankenstein. Tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Hello, who's this Johnny Plugchick who's always electioneering about spark plugs?
Why, Senator, Johnny is a helpful hinter fighting Old Man Winter. He's the blithe reminder to wise motorists that now's the time to visit your Autolite spark plug dealer to get ready for the cold driving days ahead. Change the oil and grease, put in antifreeze, inspect the battery cable.
And check those important spark plugs, too.
Because when your spark plugs are right, your chances of starting, even in coldest weather, are better than ever.
And if my Autolite spark plug dealer finds my spark plugs need replacing, Harlow...
Why, if they're worn out, he'll recommend a set of the world-famous ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs, Senator. Like the amazing Autolite resistor spark plug. It's one of the greatest advancements in spark plugs for automotive use in the past 20 years. When you have a set installed in your car, you'll get double spark plug life, smoother engine performance, and quick starts as compared to spark plugs without a built-in resistor.
So, friends, visit your Autolite spark plug dealer soon. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Herbert Marshall in Elliot Lewis's production of Frankenstein, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
CC came yesterday. I missed the drugs and cumulative. Maybe that's it.
His eyes are open. What are you going to do?
Now, listen to his heart again.
It's got to be destroyed. You've got to put an end to it.
It's inhuman. Don't you see what you're doing?
You can't give it a soul.
No, no.
You can't give it.
How do you know what I can give it? I've given it life, haven't I? It sees. It breathes, moves, perhaps hears. Yes. Does it hear? Ha! Look, did you see that? It blinked, the head jerked. It hears. It's aware of sound. Does it feel pain?
Don't, Victor. It's not an animal. You've formed it like a man. Give it the dignity of one. I won't let you do that to it.
I've gone this far, James.
Put down the scalpel.
What are you going to prove by that?
I think you must be mad.
I don't interfere with your work, James. Why?
There's someone at the door.
Yes. I think I'd better strap it down on the table. You won't forget your promise, will you?
I'm sorry I gave my word. I'm sorry you ever told me about this. I feel I'm as guilty as you are now.
Took you so long. Hello, James.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Darling, I tried to call from the station, but the line's out of order.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Did you have a nice time?
Lovely. Everybody sends their love.
That's good.
What have you two been up to? How's Mary, James?
Oh, very well, thank you.
What a fine pair of sober-sides you are. What did you do, darling? Break one of my good dishes? I knew I shouldn't have left you alone. Well, what are we standing in the hall for? Let's go in.
Elizabeth, I must be going. Mary will be wondering, particularly if the phone's out of order.
It's raining very hard.
Oh, no, I'll be all right.
You take an umbrella. There's one in the kitchen.
Are you going to tell her?
No.
You won't unstrap it from the table, will you?
Not yet.
All right, I'll try to come back later. I want to think.
About what?
You've changed since you came to see me this afternoon. You really don't care what I think now, do you?
I suppose not. Thanks anyway, James.
Are you going to let it live?
That's funny from you. Have I the right to kill it?
You've already done something you had no right to do. Something that you don't even understand. The creation of man isn't your job, it isn't mine. Oh, I know your bright scientific mind's laughing
at me. Here's the umbrella, James. But I wish you'd wait until the storm blows over.
No, I really must get back. Thank you, Elizabeth. I'll return it tomorrow. Goodbye.
Well, what's the matter with him? Have you been arguing religion again, Victor?
No, dear. Look, I'm doing a little work in the lab. It's rather important. Do you mind?
What is going on, Victor? There's something.
No, dear, nothing at all. There isn't.
I know there is. What's the matter?
Nothing, dear, really. I've got to get back to work now.
Straps.
It's just standing there, looking at me. What do I do? Talk to it? What do I say? Can it understand I've done it? I've done it? It's almost perfect. Muscular control. Coordination. I wish I'd finished the face, though. It must be terribly strong. That's odd. It's not over average size. Now what? Can you understand what I say? Can you feel any pain? Are you hungry? I'm a man like you. You are a man. Do you understand? Here. This is a mirror. You can see yourself in it. Look. It's all right. It's all right. It's angry. But it doesn't show anger in its face. There's emotion, though. It sees ugliness and is afraid. I'll have to get it back on the table and put it to sleep. That's the best way. They'll use a stronger strap or chain. The eyes. Just staring. They seem watery. What a marvel it is, though. I want you to come over here and sit down. Do you hear me? Come here and sit down. Come here. No, don't touch that. No, stop it. Stop it. Put it down.
Being a fool, Victor. Do you realize what it means? That thing roaming about the country? What about the children, everybody in the village? I'm going to get the police.
No, please, James. Give me a chance to find it first.
Then what? You do a few more experiments, give it speech, perhaps, and it happens again?
It's mine. I made it.
I'm not thinking of that now. It's Mary and your wife. We don't even know where it is. If it wants to kill, how do you know where it will start?
All right. Just give me an hour. Let me try to find it before we call the police. If I do, I'll take it back and destroy it myself.
Do you give me your word?
Yes.
All right. I'll go with you.
Thanks, James.
I'll get my rifle. Do you have a gun?
Yes. But I'm not going to use it unless it...
Yes, unless... That's why I'll take mine. Chambimont. Where do you think it might have gone?
It's hard to tell. It's afraid of thunder. It might be hiding in the barn.
The old Hamilton place?
Yeah.
How are you going to capture it? Have you thought of that?
I brought along a hypodermic.
You're not afraid anymore, are you?
No.
That's strange, because I am. Not of what it might do to me, but because of the fact that I've seen it. I know it exists.
There's the barn. If it's in there, there's no way out the back way. It was boarded up, wasn't it?
Yes.
I'll go in. Wait out here, will you?
No, I'm coming with you.
No. If it's in there, if it tries to escape, shoot it as it comes out.
Oh, don't take the chance. It won't let you get near.
I'm going to try. Thanks, James. Hiding, waiting for me. I am afraid. I should have destroyed it. James was right. What's the matter with this flashlight? Wet. That's better. What's that? In the corner. You. It's all right. I understand. I won't hurt you. Don't be frightened. It's going to be all right. You'll hardly feel this. It won't hurt.
I might have hit it. I don't know.
It's gone.
Yes, are you? Victor. Victor. Oh, Victor.
He never recovered consciousness again. Outside, I looked for the thing I'd shot at. But there was no sign of it. I returned to the lab and burnt every paper, destroyed every single evidence of Victor Frankenstein's terrible experiment. But the result of that experiment has never been found. Nor have I been able yet to convince the authorities that such a thing ever existed.
Presented by Autolite, tonight's star, Mr. Herbert Marshall. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for Autolite, world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. They are members of the Autolite family, as well as other 98,000 Autolite distributors and dealers in the United States and thousands more in Canada and throughout the world. Our family also includes the nearly 30,000 men and women in 28 great Autolite plants from coast to coast and Autolite plants in many foreign countries, as well as the 18,000 people who have invested a portion of their savings in Autolite. Every Autolite product is backed by constant research and precision built to the highest standards of quality and performance. So remember, from bumper to taillight, you're always right with Autolite.
Next week, a story based on fact, terrifying in its truth. The dramatic report of a man returning home to find he now lives in a frightened city. Our star, Mr. Frank Lovejoy. The program will be heard on Suspense. Tonight's story was adapted for Suspense by Anthony Ellis. Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis. Music was written by Lucian Morwick and conducted by Lud Gluskin.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Suspense was high-quality drama with the best writers, and famous stars enjoyed performing on the show. The next episode is a double whammy with a script by Lucille Fletcher, who wrote two of the most celebrated suspense scripts, Sorry Wrong Number and The Hitchhiker, and also award-winning actress Mercedes McCambridge in the lead role. The great Orson Welles said of McCambridge, "She is the world's greatest living radio actress." This script was used several times over the years with different actresses. This will keep you in suspense. The Diary of Sophronia Winters, first broadcast August 10th, 1958 on CBS.
Suspense. And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
One of the axioms of drama might be summed up in the words, "Don't cheat the audience." Yet one of the most famous short stories of the century, The Lady of the Tiger, does just that. No, we are not about to bring you that famous masterpiece, but the story we are going to tell, in addition to being well calculated to keep you in suspense, is also guaranteed to start a lot of arguments, none of which we hope will become too serious. Frankly, we don't know whether Sophronia Winters or Hiram Johnson is telling the truth, and whether one or both of them are crazy. But there's one point on which we can all agree. Sophronia's diary makes mighty thrilling reading. Listen. Listen then, as Miss Mercedes McCambridge stars in The Diary of Sophronia Winters, which begins in just a moment.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Hey, honey, I'm home. Daphne.
Drop dead.
Uh-oh, what's the matter, honey?
Don't you speak to me, you Don Juan.
Don Juan? Daphne, I'm no Don Juan. No hablo español.
Very funny. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, it was no prize winner, but...
Neither are you, you Lothario.
I've often wondered, what's a Lothario?
I don't know, but that's what the wives on TV always call their husbands. I guess it applies.
You want me to go out and come in again?
As far as I'm concerned, you can go for a long walk, preferably on a short pier.
Well, oh, come on, Daphne, what's wrong?
Your good friend Harry called, and he spilled the beans.
Which beans?
He said, quote, "Tell Joe he was right about those blondes. They're great," unquote.
Blondes?
That's what he said. Well?
He didn't say blondes. He said bonds. Savings bonds.
What?
Sure, I buy them on the payroll savings plan. And I told Harry he ought to do it, too. Savings bonds have a guaranteed interest that pays back $4 for every three, which is a pretty good investment.
That's a pretty good story, too.
It's true, so help me. That's why Harry's so happy. Savings bonds are great.
Well, maybe you're right. You wouldn't really fool around with blondes, would you? You're too faithful and sweet and kind and...
Fast talking.
And now... The Diary of Sophronia Winters, starring Mercedes McCambridge. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
February 1st, St. Petersburg, Florida. I, Sophronia Winters, have hereby begun this diary because on this date I feel, for the first time in my 60 years, that I have begun to live. It happened this morning. I had just settled myself on the beach when I noticed a man, a thrilling-looking man, strolling toward me.
Well, sitting out here all by your lonesome?
Oh, well, yes, I am.
Didn't I see you last night over at the Starfish Tea Room?
The Starfish Tea Room? Oh, yes, yes. I was there yesterday.
It's that mighty good table over there. Mind if I sit down beside you?
Not at all. Oh, just a minute. Sit on this magazine. This sand sticks to your clothes.
Oh, sand don't bother me. Johnson's the name. Hiram Johnson. Come from Green Harbor, Maine. Run a big hotel up there summers. That's my whole history in a nutshell.
My name is Sophronia. Sophronia Winters.
Sophronia?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's quite a coincidence. My sister-in-law's name is Sophronia. Sophronia Johnson. You ever heard of her? She looked quite a bit like you.
Sophronia Johnson? No, I'm afraid I haven't. Who was she? Someone very famous? I'm so ignorant about these things.
No, Sophronia wasn't very famous up in the state of Maine for a while, some time back. Well, look where that sun climbed to. I'd say it was close to lunchtime, and I'm going on a hunger strike unless you have lunch with me.
Oh. Yeah? dear diary, now I know what they mean by the young in heart. There is indeed a boy for every girl in the world, and I have found mine. He is so kind and so generous, and so strong, and I am so weak, because I want to be.
Oh, what's the good of waiting, Sophronia? I gotta be back at the hotel in a week. We may never see each other again.
Oh, Hiram, don't say that. I couldn't bear it.
Then let's do it right away. Tomorrow. There's a parson out on Coral Avenue who'll do the job for us, and we can take a nice moonlight drive out the alligator farm afterwards and have a nice shore dinner. Then climb on board the Orange Blossom tomorrow night for Maine.
Oh, but what would your family think? Wouldn't they be shocked?
Family's all dead. I'm my own boss. There'll just be the two of us, alone together.
The two of us, alone together. The two of us, alone together. But, dear diary, not exactly as I had imagined it. Our wedding trip north on the Orange Blossom Express was all that I could have dreamed of. But now we are at the end of the journey. Looming in front of us in the deepening winter twilight is a huge resort hotel, Hiram's Hotel, its wide veranda empty, its ancient cupolas menacing against the gray sky, and not a single light burning at any of its hundreds of windows. What are you locking the gate for, Hiram?
Why not? Nobody coming in after us or going out again for a while.
But I thought you said the hotel.
The hotel is empty.
Hiram.
Well, what is it now?
Hiram, darling, I know it sounds silly, but let's not go in there tonight. It's so dark and empty. Let's wait until morning. Let's stay in the village just for tonight.
We're staying here. Now, get inside.
Oh, my arm. Hiram.
You remember me telling you down in Florida about my sister-in-law, Sophronia?
Yes.
Well, that's her. That painting there on the wall. Now, you take a look at her. Good look.
But why?
She was a murderess.
Oh.
She was hanged in Portland 25 years ago for the murder of my brother, Ephraim. Here in the lobby of this hotel. To come downstairs singing a hymn and murdered him in cold blood with an axe. That fire axe hanging over there on the wall.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah. Now, you stand over there under that painting.
Hiram,
get over there.
Hiram, please, you're hurting me.
Now, you stand there quietly. Now, you remember I said you resembled my dead sister-in-law? Well, you do. You are a spitting image.
In a moment, we continue with the second act of Suspense. In what form can an act of military heroism be acknowledged? In one example, the form is a rectangular blue ribbon set in a gold-colored metal frame of laurel leaves, worn centered over the right breast pocket of the uniform. A bronze oak leaf cluster may be affixed to the ribbon for each subsequent award of the same decoration. This is the emblem of the Distinguished Unit Citation, awarded to units of our armed forces and those of our allies for extraordinary heroism in action against an armed enemy. One of America's newer military decorations, it is designated to recognize activity on or after December 7, 1941. The Distinguished Unit Campaign streamer is blue, with the name of the cited action embroidered in white. To be eligible for this citation, the degree of heroism required is the same as that which, in an individual, would warrant the presentation of our second highest award for valor, the Distinguished Service Cross. The Distinguished Unit emblem may be worn permanently by all those involved in the cited action, but for those individuals joining the unit later, the emblem may be worn only for the duration of their assignment. Both as individuals and as members of military units, America's servicemen have proved themselves worthy of medals and worthy of admiration by their countrymen.
And now, starring Mercedes McCambridge, Act Two of The Diary of Sophronia Winters.
I cannot understand it, and my heart is heavy. The hotel is deserted, unchanged and apparently uninhabited for 25 years. Wash bowls and pitchers still stand in the empty rooms covered with cobwebs. The great dining room with its oak woodwork is alive with rats, and a row of broken rocking chairs on the front porch faces emptily out to sea. Does he mean this to be my home?
And now, Medea, let me show you the grounds.
Oh, but it's dark.
I want to show you where my sister-in-law Sophronia is buried.
But can't I see it tomorrow in the daylight?
You'll see it now, Sophronia.
Hiram, you're hurting me.
I'm sorry, Medea, but you must learn to do what I say. And then we shall have no trouble. Just yonder on that mound. That's where my sister-in-law Sophronia was laid away 25 years ago. Buried her ourselves, without a service, out here by herself on the grounds. Ephraim's buried in town, but not Sophronia. I had a feeling I'd have to keep an eye on her.
Keep an eye on her?
Yeah. I knew she was one of those restless sleepers who wouldn't stay quiet in a grave.
You mean you think she haunts this place?
Nope, not this place. She never had any use for it, alive or dead. No, she makes for the warmer climates. She was always a cold-blooded little woman, freezing and shivering all the time. Places like California and Texas and Florida she makes for.
Florida?
Yeah. One of her favorite haunts, particularly around St. Petersburg. She likes the flowers and the sun and the romance.
Hiram, I feel cold. I'm shivering. Do you mind if I go inside now?
In a minute. I haven't explained everything. You see those birches over there? Under every one of them's a grave. See, I found her wandering the earth in disguise 3 times. I killed her 3 times. Still don't do any good. She's still restless.
You mean you killed 3 different women?
Yep. Now I keep another grave open. Reminder. Waiting now. Would you like to see it, Sophronia?
Oh, no. No, Hiram. No, please.
You afraid to see it, Sophronia?
No, I... Oh, Hiram, you don't think just because my name happens to be Sophronia and that I look a little like...
Think what, Sophronia?
Nothing.
Well, I... Well, we mustn't have you catch the cold, my dear.
Well, you come back along in the hotel. I'll show you to your room.
My room?
Yes, Petunia. Your room. Now, this room's cleanest in the hotel. Always expected to be occupied again sometime. There you see. Kept everything just as it was.
Oh,
huh? What's the matter?
Nothing. It's just that...
Seem kind of familiar?
No. No.
Well, just as she left it that afternoon, she walked downstairs to murder my brother. See her embroidery on the table, needle sticking in it. Her hymn book still open. She was very fond of singing hymns, Petunia was. Had a nice voice, too. I used to accompany her on the harmonium down the parlor.
Oh.
Well, I'll turn down the bed for you. And you can get undressed while I go make you some hot tea.
No, I don't want any.
Now, there's the closet. You can put on one of Sophronia's dressing gowns, make yourself at home.
Hiram, why are you locking my door?
It's safer, my dear.
Safer?
Yeah. Always lock doors, outside and inside. Windows, too. Much safer for everybody.
It must be nearly midnight now. I don't know. I don't know how long it's been since he locked that door on me and left me alone in this horrible room with its hideous little mementos of a dead murderess. I have lit the pink-flowered oil lamp, and I am sitting here at her little wicker table trying to maintain my sanity as I write this. I can hear him downstairs in the shabby little parlor off the lobby playing the harmonium, playing the same piece over and over again. My hand has just brushed against her needlework lying beside the open hymn book, open at the same hymn he is playing, the same hymn he is playing. I shall go mad. I shall go mad. I shall go mad.
In a moment, we continue with the third act of Suspense.
We have together ample capacity in freedom to defend freedom. This is NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Day after day, month after month, since April 4th, 1949, the activities of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization have moved steadily forward on many fronts. This complete cooperation must and will continue, because the concept of national self-sufficiency is out of date. Countries of the free world are interdependent, and only in genuine partnership, and by combining their resources, sharing tasks in many fields, can progress and safety be found. The United States of America is a part of NATO. You should be aware of and alert to the objectives and programs of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
And now, starring Mercedes McCambridge, Act 3 of The Diary of Sophronia Winters.
February 12th. Can it be only a week since I became the bride of a madman? Now I live only from moment to moment, listening to each creak on the stairs, each note as it slowly wheezes from the old harmonium, wondering when he will come for me, when he will drag me out to join those other Sophronias in their frosty graves beneath the naked birches.
Sophronia!
It's come.
Sophronia! Come downstairs. Want you to sing with me?
Sing. Sing. She sang with him, he said. How? How can I come downstairs when my door is locked?
It's unlocked. You try it.
Unlocked? Oh, no. How could it?
Oh, it is. It is. And I never knew it. I never knew it.
Come in, Sophronia.
He unlocked it sometime while I was just sitting there. Oh, why didn't I try a few more times? Why did I just sit there assuming? No. No, he'd have caught me anyway. He'd have known. But I might have got away. And now it's too late. He's going to kill me.
Sophronia!
Yes, Hiram. I'm coming. Hiram, where are you?
Down here, in the parlor.
That's the harmonium?
Yeah. Waiting to sing with you.
All right. I'll sing. I haven't sung in years, but I'll try. I'll sing with you. I'll stay out here in the hall. My voice will carry better.
Always did carry better in the hall, didn't it, Sophronia? Of course, you know, both the front and back doors are locked.
Yes, I know, Harry.
Come on with me.
The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide.
When all the
there's only one more page.
Shall I read it to you, nurse?
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
March 22nd. I have been sick, I think, for a very long time. The pages of my diary are blank, but I shall take you out again, poor diary, today, and start you over again. I shall never look back at the other pages. I shall only write on and on about this beautiful place, so that no one reading this diary will ever know that I did it. But I did do it, diary. I was smarter than he. When I opened that door at the head of the stairs and heard the music, when I saw the fire axe still hanging on the wall, I was so cautious, so terribly cautious. I tiptoed like a little mouse, even as I sang the hymn into that room where he was playing. If a reflection of that axe had so much as glimmered across the wood, if he had turned, but I was clever, so much cleverer than he. I kept on singing, and now I'm free, free as a bird. I'm free, and he shall never catch me now, not this time, or ever again, because he's dead. Isn't he, nurse? Nurse, isn't my dear brother-in-law, Hiram, really dead?
Yes, Miss Sophronia, he's dead. And now we'll put the diary away, shall we? Remember what the doctor said. We mustn't overdo if we're to get well.
Oh, but I don't want to get well. Ever. I like being sick. I feel so safe.
Suspense, in which Mercedes McCambridge starred in William N. Robeson's production of The Diary of Sophronia Winters by Lucille Fletcher. Supporting Mercedes McCambridge in The Diary of Sophronia Winters were Carl Swenson and Ellen Morgan. Listen. Listen again next week when we return with Miss Kathy Lewis starring in The Bridge. Another tale well calculated to keep you in Suspense.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube also. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.